And a lot of people, when you know, hear the devil compared to an animal, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is you know, he walks around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. But here it's not that. It's a serpent seeking who he may deceive. That is what we're going to be talking about, and see how one little mistake is all it takes. But we'll start in verse 1, and it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." That'll be it. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for just your many blessings, Lord. No matter what I do, Lord, you are so good to me. I pray that you would just fill this room tonight. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, first, we see our first point. We see a secret conversation. And the devil comes to Eve. You know, maybe the devil does not do anything by accident. He is, you know, he is very planned, thinks it all the way through. So he comes to Eve when maybe, you know, she can see the forbidden fruit, but she can't see Adam, far away and separated. And the devil, he knows what he's doing. And the devil, I mean, even God said, I think it was in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel." I think the devil, you know, he knew that. Absolutely. I mean, it may have been written at the end of the Bible, but he knew it all the way back then. He knew that she is going to be the weaker vessel, and that, you know, not saying that she is lesser than man. That is not at all what we're saying here, but it is saying she is the weaker vessel, and that the husband is supposed to take care of her. But the devil, he knew that. So he comes here and asked, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And when something in your life comes to question the things God has set in place, that's when you should get the red flags and the bells. You should drop it right there and go to God. But that's not what Eve did here. She should have stopped, ran to Adam, ran to God, but no, she keeps on the conversation. She says unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest she die." But honestly, my imagination, I'm just thinking about a conversation between a snake. I don't understand in my mind why. I mean, I wouldn't want to carry on a conversation. It'd be very, you know, mind-boggling for me. But she didn't drop what she was doing. She even, you know, furthers on this secret conversation. But that's exactly how sin works. If the devil can get you to question your image of sin or your view on sin or, you know, good or evil, he's got you. I mean, if he can get you to think, I mean, he'll change your view on, you know, sin like that. You'll say, I'll never do that. But when time comes along, oh, it's not that bad. Or it's not, you know, it's not as far as I can go. I can go a lot farther, but I'm good over here. Yeah, I can go a little further, and then bam, bam, and you blink, and you're there. No matter, I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, as we see on later, Adam, you know, blames his wife for committing the sin. But it doesn't matter where you went or how you got there. Right. All that matters is in the end is you committed the sin. Amen. But after Satan comes asking about the tree, he says, "Ye shall not surely die." I think it was in verse 4. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and ye shall see, ye shall be of as gods, knowing good and evil." And we'll talk about that in a second, but in this moment, we'll see. You know, the devil, he lies. He really does. But in this moment, he's not lying. I mean, if you pay attention to that two-letter word, it says, "ye shall be as gods." He didn't say you will be gods or you will be like, I mean, you won't be gods or a god. But it says you shall be as gods. And we'll see, you know, later on that he's not lying when it comes to this. Their eyes were open, but they didn't see what they thought they'd see. But these secret conversations, they'll lead to the sin committed. And we get to our key verse. Verse 6, it says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband." And he did eat. And When I was studying, I was like, I love a good joke. And I was like, this came, you know, when I was studying, I was like, man, that's perfect. I mean, you know, as wives, as husbands, your wives take forever to choose where to go to eat. And now I understand why, because last time they chose, they lost all of our eternity. So, I mean, I completely understand why they're, you know, a little more cautious about picking out where we want to eat. But here we see, you know, Satan, he didn't force. He didn't, you know, push Eve. He didn't, you know, use any sort of, you know, anything but a question, a simple question or a simple statement saying, you shall not surely die. Your eyes will actually be opened as God's. He didn't, you know, force her. He just asked her. He just talked to her. And that's what he does. He deceives. That's why, you know, he's not the lion seeking whom he may devour, like the king of the jungle. He's not going to power through. Here, he's just going to slip in. And then he will change your mind on what you think sin is. But here, not only did Eve disobey God, she gave it to Adam. And this just shows whether it's a physical, your sin affects everyone, or it's in our case where they sinned, and now we have to deal with all this sorrow. But whether or not it's physically or long down the line, your sin will always affect everyone else. You may think that, you know, your sin only affects you, but it does not. No matter what the sin is, it will always affect. And no matter what your sin is, it always affects God. Always. No matter what it is, if it's sin, it affects God. But here, and everything, the devil, oh, this is what I was talking about. And we can go back to verse 3. It said, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall she touch it, lest she die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So, what exactly, you know, the devil said comes true. When we look down here, we say in verse 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were open. Bam. There's the first part. Then it says, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Why do you think they hid themselves? Because they knew what they did was wrong. Because they, you know, now have the knowledge of good and evil, and they realize what they did was not good, but in fact evil. There's the second part. You see, the devil did not lie. Yes, he is full of lies, but he just twists the truth. Exactly what he said came to light. Exactly what he said, but it's not how they thought it was. I think it was Matthew Henry who said, their eyes were opened, but only to what the good that they lost. And it was open to now the sorrow they have to live on forever with. Their eyes were open, but not to what they thought they'd see. But we see next God calls them, like I said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam, his wife, hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees because they were ashamed. And any time meeting with God should not be a time of shame, or, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, fear time meeting with God. I hear a lot of people say that they hate prayer services or they don't like prayer services. But I don't know about you, but I need prayer services. And I find myself most of the time, people that say they don't like service or prayer services, they're not living right. They're not doing what they're supposed to be. Sure, they may come. They may, you know, sit through the service, but when they go back home, it's not the life they should be living. And that's exactly what sin does. Sin will make you not only fear the Lord, but fear his time or hate his time, you know, together. So they ran and hid. But after you have secret conversations and after you commit that sin, it'll always lead to the standing curse or the standing consequences, which is more pliable today. First, we see in verse 11, it says, and he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And ain't that just like us? Ain't that just exactly like we do? I mean, some people may think they're better than people in the Bible. Oh, sure, I wouldn't do none of that. But we do that every single day. We have a million reasons. You ever heard the saying, you got more excuses than a porcupine's got quills? That's exactly how we are. We, you know, find ourselves in these situations, but, oh, it was this person, or it was this. But that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And one thing that caught my mind is when he said, the woman whom thou gavest me. I don't believe he was saying, God, this is your fault, but it sure does sound like it. I like to believe it was our human nature because, I mean, Eve, she was seen doing the same thing. The serpent beguiled me. There we go, putting that blame off again. So I would like to think Adam wasn't saying, well, you gave me her. Can you fix her and give her back to me or something? But the woman you gave me, she's the one that caused all this. I'm hoping it'd be a rough day talking to God in, you know, him right here saying, well, I mean, you gave me her. And she messed my life up. And it's your fault. It would be a hard day to go through if I were to say that. To be honest, I hope I never get to the point where I say that to God. But and the same with Eve. It says, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. And both those verses, they could have been cut out to the last three words. I did eat. They're in the same exact spot as if they cut out all that fluff and said, yes, I did eat. Because, I mean, none of the excuses matter. No matter the road you travel to get there, all that matters is in the end. That's good or bad. I mean, even in the sin, no matter how you led to your life of sin, all that matters is what you're living. And it could be a good thing, no matter how great a preacher or, you know, the walk is going to be hard, but it's not about the walk, it's where you are. And also where you came from. But, like I said, we and us are human nature. We sure love to blame everyone else. Oh, not I. Oh, as we saw in the feast, he said, oh, not I. Oh, not I. Or is it I? I mean, we like to put it off, but in the end of it, it's all down to us. I mean, like I said, the devil, he does not push us to do things. He does not force us to do anything. He just puts stuff in our lives or pushes it a little closer, you know, pushes things in our path that's like, oh, that looks good. I'll go that way. Or, oh, no, that. But I'm walking good, but it's just a little side, you know, side detour. They always lead back to the right way, right? Not always. You get lost on those roads. But not only, you know, you commit the sin, but now we need a Savior. And not only do we, you know, need a Savior, we're putting a point in our life to where we have to deal with a whole lot of more trouble than we should have been. I mean, living a life of sin will always lead to a whole lot more trouble than if you'd have just done it right the first time. I remember Dad, we would always mess up on weed eating because we were lazy or mowing the yard, and he would always say, if you do it right the first time, you don't have to go back and do it again. And I don't know why it took so long for that to get, I mean, I still don't do the right thing most of the time, but I sure do remember Dad saying that every time, and I feel like God says that too. He's just like, why'd you leave? If you'd have just kept with me, we'd have made it all right. We'd have been just fine. I know it looked hard. I know it looked real bad. But you can go this way without me, or we can go this way together. I mean, God, He's never left us, and we'll see how good He is, even though we're dealing with our consequences. We start off with Eve. I think it was in verse 16, and He said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be with thy husband, and thou shalt rule over thee. And a lot of people, a lot of women probably won't like the end part of that, but it doesn't mean that he's over you or better or anything. But what caught my eye was when it said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And it got me to thinking, I won't ever have to conceive, praise the Lord. I've heard it's pretty painful. But I just, you know, I just imagine, what would it have been like if we had not, you know, conception before the fall? Right. You know how painful and like a long process this is? But I wonder, like, what it would have been like in the fall or before the fall. I mean, sure. It just blows my mind. But like I was saying, even though we're dealing with our consequences, God is still good and blesses us the whole way through. Like, just look at John 16:21. And a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because of the fall. But because her hour has come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born. Even though we are in this situation because of our sin and our own, I mean, we think it's better, but we find ourselves in this situation, he still blesses us. I mean, he's still good even though we left him. I mean, it just, I mean, it blows my mind. But then we go back to, we go to Adam. And these are perfect shows. I mean, if you want to know what a good wife looks like, just read, you know, the little parts about this, you know, how thy desire shall be to thy husband and shall rule over thee. Notice how that's, a boy and girl, man and woman, and then not, you know, wives or husbands. You know, it's pretty easy to follow, but as we see, he moved on to Adam. He said, unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. And there he said, he didn't say the one I gave you, he said, thy wife. Yep. He's like, this ain't on me. This is 100% on you. But hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it in the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of it herb of the field. And then this is what I really focused on, because it said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And why do you think it would mention sweat there? I mean, I was reading it, doing some study, I was like, and it got me thinking, what was the labor like before the fall? What was it like, a joyous, pleasant thing? Like, was it hard and tedious? Was it, you know, generally enjoyable? But now, are we going through this hard life? I mean, our lives compared to back then, we have so many blessings. But, you know, is this so much harder just because of our fall? And, sorry about that. But are we having to, you know, endure all this pain just because, you know, we thought we knew better? And in the end, we don't know better. But as we see, God says, from dust thou art and dust thou return. There we come. Dead. I would like to think we, you know, wouldn't have died living in the garden before the fall. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't in God's mind when he was in there. But he said, we would, from dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. But all this came from eating tiny little fruit. Think about that. How insignificant does that sound? It sure had a huge consequence. So no matter the sin or the things God puts or Satan puts in your life that make you think, hey, that's not that bad. Not much can come out of that. I mean, I don't have to, you know, it's just, you know, it's just I had a drink. I'm not getting drunk, though. I may drink, you know, but I'm not getting drunk. Or, you know, I smoke a little bit. I mean, it doesn't really affect me, my mind or anything like that, or my body. But I don't, you know, smoke much. Just when I'm not feeling good, or, you know, no matter the case, it always has a consequence. There is always, and you don't ever know how big that consequence go and how long it'll last. You do not know. I'm sure if you went to the jailhouse and asked them, did you think you'd be here? When you've robbed that convenience store or, you know, smoked that pot, do you think you would be in this, predicament right now? I guarantee they'd say no. Because that's how it starts. It starts small, but the devil will take you a lot further and a lot faster than you ever want to go. And you won't like where you end up. You will not like. But that's the thing about God. No matter where you do end up, he's always right there. I always love the picture of when he killed the lamb to make coats for them. Even though they had fig leaves, aprons, they were fine. I mean, but he didn't have to. But just to show how good he is, and a little foreshadowing of his son, because he knew there would have to be a cross. Even before Adam and Eve, you know, he knew Satan, he would come along. He knew it. I mean, but he knew there would have to be a cross. But just remember, your sin never affects you. I don't know where you are in your life right now. There's no telling. You can go ahead, Timothy. You could be the lost sinner that's running, struggling, living your own life. Or you could be the saved sinner, struggling. Or you could be the saved sinner, going strong for God. No matter what it is, all of you struggle with sin. No matter what it is. No one's, Brother John doesn't struggle with sin any less than you do. Now, his struggles with sin are a whole lot different than yours, mine, you know, anyone. That doesn't mean anyone's better or less. We all have different struggles and different, you know, sins. But at the end of the day, it's all sin. God doesn't see anything bigger, anything less. But you start having those secret conversations that always lead, you know, you always find yourself sneaking around, sin. Why do you have to sneak around to sin? Why? When you think sneaking, it's always put with not doing what you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. It always is. But when you start sneaking around and having these secret conversations, they always lead to sin. They always lead to sin. And you're not going to like those consequences that come up after that sin. So I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what you're struggling with, but I know a good place to get things settled. No matter where you are, what type of Christian, no matter nothing. I know a great place. It worked for me, and I know a whole church it worked for. So I don't know what you're struggling with, but either way, God's been good. If you would stand, please. This altar is always open and hardly ever used. I think we'd solve a whole lot more problems if we used an altar more. I love how Brother John says, you can pray in your chair, your seat right where you're at, but there really is something special about being at an altar. Dear Lord, I pray that you would just fill this room with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill these broken people that are, after tonight, they're going on with their regular life, Lord. No matter what that entails, they still fight the devil just the same as you and me. So I pray that you would just watch over them, Lord. Put a hedge of protection over them, Lord. And I pray that you would be with us tonight as we go out. In Jesus' name.